So now the Kremlin is likely on the lookout for American trolls. Back in the day when America was trolling the Soviet Union, some of it sounded like this. Yeah, getting trolled by Billy Joel lyrics in the 80s isn't quite the same as meddling in an election. Of course, that was before the internet really became a thing. Once it took off, after the Cold War ended, American officials initially assumed Russia would be an ally and that Russian propaganda and disinformation campaigns were a thing of the past. Our European allies warned us to be cautious, though, and still we put our guard down, which left the U.S. unprepared to respond to Russian trolling and meddling when it did happen, including last year. That's a takeaway from a Washington Post article out yesterday, co-written by Adam Entis at the Post. I asked him when Russia picked up its disinformation campaign in the post-Cold War era.
For many years, they didn't really do anything as far as we could tell. It wasn't really until the mid-2000s.
Hello and welcome to our first viewers to Russia today.
They launched what's called RT, which is their main propaganda channel.
A new international news channel from Russia to the world.
They began to, enter markets around the world, and they began to create their own Russian language propaganda channels along their periphery. So targeting Russian populations in Estonia, Russian populations in Ukraine. That's in the mid-2000s.
Mm. And what kind of alarm bells went off among U.S. intelligence agencies as this was happening?
Very little. In fact, this was so not the priority after 2001. Russia and the threat of Russia was deemed to be not as grave or imminent a threat as the threat of Al-Qaeda during this period. So accordingly, our intelligence community and our satellite time and all the things that go with it were devoted to combating terrorism and not to focusing on states like the Russians.
And as you and your colleagues at the Post report, the real wake-up call came in early 2014 when the Russians annexed Crimea. This war starts in eastern Ukraine. The U.S. efforts, though, to counter the Russian operation at this point, your reporting suggests it was too little too late, like Voice of America's new Russian broadcaster translating Ken Burns' documentaries into Russian.
Right. So after Ukraine, that was sort of the wake-up call. They used social media in Ukraine in addition to deploying special forces. And the combination of those two elements was very effective in confusing the population, the local population, and in fact, confusing the world as to what was really happening there. And so that started a debate within the Obama administration about what to do. There were efforts being done by a few State Department officials who you just referenced, who were trying to make do with the limited resources they had. But on the side, and those officials were not aware of it, there was a deeper debate in the Obama administration, which continues to this day, whether or not the CIA should go back to a Cold War footing versus the Russians, like they were during the Soviet Union days. And it was not resolved when Russia intervened in the 2016 election. It had been basically buried and not decided upon when they realized what was happening.
So, I mean, prior to Obama, Bush 41 was president when Eastern Europe and then Russia fell apart. And then there was Clinton, Bush 43. Were all these presidents basically just ignoring the possibility of Russia targeting the U.S.?
Well, I think all of those things took place kind of before social media became a real significant tool. You know, so you can understand the choices that they made. You're facing very serious, more imminent threats, such as ISIS more recently, which obviously would take precedent over an amorphous threat that Russia might pose. Mm. And at no point in time did the intelligence community come to the policymakers and warn them in a clear way about what Russia might do to the United States. In fact, in some ways, we sort of believed our own propaganda that we were exceptional, that somehow we were better than them, somehow we were different than them, somehow we were resilient, and that the Russians, even if they did, decide to do this to us, that somehow our society was stitched together in a way that would fend it off. And I think that was really the big surprise for everyone, was how vulnerable our institutions are.
So Trump has said that Vladimir Putin told him personally that Russia did not mess with the 2016 elections. He believes Putin. Let's just say that's for public consumption. Behind the scenes, is there any alarm at the White House that this probably will happen again and next time the U.S. has to be ready? Like, what plans are in the works now?
Yeah, so that's the big issue. Obviously, for officials that were coming in to the Trump administration, many of them were very concerned about the intelligence showing that Russia intervened. They believed the intelligence reports. The president feels that attention to Russia's activities in some ways challenges his legitimacy and his victory, which makes it harder for officials to talk to him about this, to get this at a high level attention. And the other issue going on in the Trump administration is the power struggles that are going on within it to control these key tools that could be used to counter the Russians and to follow through on the options that Obama left for them to use.
So given all of this stuff and Trump's unwillingness to call out Russia, how effectively can the U.S. respond?
As far as I can tell, pretty much nothing has really been done, except for awareness, except for the conversation we're having right now.
Adam Entis, who co-reported for The Washington Post the story Kremlin trolls burned across the internet as Washington debated options. Adam, always good to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.